Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is End Time Global Link Ministry. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Going on down there in what? I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. From there, I'm going to hit over there on Texas side. And there I have a brother, Timothy Jackson, waiting on the line to get busy with the Word of God. Elder Bazaar speaking to you, broadcasting every Sunday at 5 o'clock, a little late this evening at 5:30. I still have 2 hours to do this year's session. Amen. Brother, what you call going to be with me for a few hours, maybe an hour and a half. I don't know, but I sure appreciate him for coming on with me and get busy with the Word of God and let you know. Time is winding up for it. It's getting closer every day, every minute, every second. And we're here to inform you, amen. One thing to do, make sure your soul is right before you leave here. Whether you're in church or whether you're out of church or whether you don't go to church at all, the main thing is know that you've been at the cross where Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins, that through him we can have eternal life. For without the shedding of blood of Christ, amen, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness. There's no salvation. There's no hope until Jesus Christ came back from the grave. When he came back from the grave, all power and heaven and earth was given into his hand. And we know right now, everything that's going on in the world today, God is the director. Amen. God is the director. Everything is in God's hand. God is letting Satan follow through with whatever he has planned for the world. And he's letting the world know, amen, that he's still in control. There's nothing can be done without Christ's permission. And now we know that Satan is getting ready to rise up. He's been rising for a long time. He rode from the Garden of Eden all the way across 4,000 years. He's still riding. He almost rode across 2,000 years of church history, and he's still riding. But I got some news. Amen. It's from the portals of glory. And that Jesus Christ is soon to come back. Letting you know that this is a generation that Christ is going to come back in. He's coming back in this generation. This is the last generation. We're living in the last, I would say, last 10 years of the conclusion of a complete generation. And we know in the Bible, a generation is considered to be 70 to 80 years. And we realize that 2029 ends 80 years. 80 years, one full-grown generation. And before this generation is done, Jesus Christ said these things should be fulfilled. There's only a couple more things to be fulfilled, and that is none other but the book of Revelation. Revelation is right on the edge of time. We're getting ready to go into the 7th week, spoken by Daniel the prophet. We're in the time in which the Bible said, when you see all these things come to pass, when you see all the wars and all the commotion, and we see Gog and Magog, we see Russia, we see Pakistan, we see Iran, we see Iraq, we see Ethiopia, we see Libya, we see Germany, all these nations right now is planning on for World War III. We already had World War II and World War I. But now this is the World War III, in which it will be a confrontation between Russia and God Almighty. Hallelujah, praise God. This is where God is getting a move. He already moved. He's been moving across 6,000 years. And now we're coming to the close, amen, of the last generation. And we are here, me and Brother Tim is here, by the will of God, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, and by the grace of God, to inform you. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a choir member, whether you're in the streets or out of the streets, whether you go to church or you don't go to church, we're putting out our AP bulletin. Christ is on his way back. And we're going to share with you some prophecies that have been fulfilled, that have been fulfilled today, and more to be fulfilled. So what we're going to do, amen, I'm going to have prayer. I'm going to have prayer right now, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Tim Jackson, and he's going to get the ball rolling. So at this time, as we come We want you to share this glorious gospel with you. And one thing we want to let you know, Christ still saves. He still saves. He's been saving for a long time. And he's saving souls today. Whether you in prison or out of prison, whether you're going down the street, whether you, I don't care where you at, who you are, what you're doing, Jesus Christ can save your soul. And that's what we are interested about. We're interested in your soul. Your soul is very, very important. That's the only thing you got. You ain't got no other life way to live, but the only way you can live it through your soul. And if you don't let Jesus Christ live in your soul, through your soul, by your soul, amen, and you die and be lost and never meet the wonderful Savior, never meet the Elohim, never meet the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and you die now, you separate your body from your soul. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, now think about this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the redemption of your soul, and has been changed from death to life, and you die without Christ, I'll guarantee you through the word of God. And I don't boast on this. I don't jump up and down on this. If you leave this world without the shed blood of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, you will die and end up in H-E-L-L, hell. Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you are a child of the devil, that means you are doing the devil's work. That means that you disbelieve in God. That means that you have no regard and respect and the fear of God. To turn from your wicked ways, you will die, will have to pay your debt in hell. So we are here to let you know and warn you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we just ask you one thing tonight. Amen. Whoever's listening, let them listen attentively. Let them listen with a warning. Let them listen with love. Let them listen to with the love of God, the shed in their hearts, that they may receive Christ before it's everlasting too late. We thank you for this. We thank you for Brother Tim, Lord, that you would use him and anoint him and endow him and dip him down in the word of wisdom and understanding, and that we can get across to the society, that we can get across to lost souls that need Jesus Christ. And we're going to give you the praise, you the honor, forevermore in Jesus' name. Church, say amen. Brother Tim. Rolling.
Amen. How's it going, brother? Amen. Yeah. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. I know it took a little time to get on, but amen. Nonetheless, we are here. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So you want me to go ahead and get started? Amen.
You go ahead and get started, brother.
Amen. Amen. Won't be on here long today. I do apologize. Amen. But I got some other obligations. Amen. But I want to be here.
All right.
Amen. Anytime that I can be here to share the word, and to be here to help my brother spread the gospel, amen. I want to be here and do so, amen. So I didn't want to skip out on anything today. So I said I'm gonna go ahead and come on, amen. So we're gonna go ahead and jump right into the word, amen. I know yesterday we've been talking about the Great Tribulation, amen. We believe that the time is near, amen. We love the saints, we love those that are lost, amen. We are praying because the Bible says, amen, that we are to treat everyone, amen, good, amen. It doesn't matter if they don't believe, amen, because they can become believers, amen.
Yes,
so
sir.
We don't want
yes,
to mistreat nobody, but our job is to tell the truth and to speak the gospel. I know sometimes the gospel, amen, doesn't always come out the way that people like it, amen, because it's not light, it's not soft, amen, but, amen, it is what it is, amen. We just want to share. Amen. Share with you the word. Amen. It is what it is. Amen. So I know yesterday we finished up talking about the judgments and the punishments that are coming to this world. Amen. The world is about to be judged for all its wickedness. Amen. I know I've been telling the brother some time. I wouldn't know what to do if Christ, amen, doesn't show up soon. Amen. I really, truly believe he's going to come back soon. Amen, because the way that things are going in this world, all the things that are happening, amen, I'll tell you right now, if it happens, amen, if Russia crosses that border or does something unseemly, oh, man, It ain't gonna be good. Yep. That's all I would tell you. It ain't gonna be good at all. Amen. So let's take a look at Revelation, the 16th chapter. We're gonna start there. Amen. I want to talk about a few things. Right. I want to talk about the wrath. Amen. Because we know that all the right. day of the Lord is what? It's the wrath of the Son of God. It's the wrath of God. Amen. And that's what Paul yep. came to warn us as the children of God, to warn us. To let us know to be watching for the return of Christ and to warn the rest of the world, to warn the lost, to warn those that are playing games, to get ready for the return of Christ. Amen. Right now the world is going on about its business as we knew it would because the scripture says it. Amen. The scripture says that man's going to be going about giving into marriage, partying and drinking and fornicating and just going about their business. Amen. And I feel like what more perfect time for Christ to come back according to the scriptures, because that's what the scriptures
say. All right.
Amen. The earth is heavily populated, over 7 billion people. That is a lot of people on the planet. Amen. We know that, yeah. that they've been planning for a long time to depopulate the earth. Amen. They want to get rid of as many people. They say too many people, but the earth is finite. The Most High Yahweh knew what he was doing when he put us here. There's no such thing, amen. There's really enough room for twice as many people that's already here to live here, amen. I live in the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, and man, I can sit and tell you right now, I can drive from Dallas to the next 5 to 8 hours later, amen, in Texas and tell you right now, man, there's so much land here. Man, if all these people come down here and move here, a lot of times I think, man, we need people to move here because there's so much space here in Texas. Amen.
Come on now.
As long as you come in and join in, be courteous like we are, amen, and don't try to change anything, we welcome you. Amen, because it is a lot of room down here. Until I say, man, where do they get? There ain't enough room. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I can drive right now from one end of the state to the other end of the state. It's about 10 to 11 hours, probably almost 12 hours from the tip of the state, north of the state of Texas, down up by Galveston, all the way down to south of Texas. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing but land. So they are lying to you when they sit there and tell you, amen, they're lying to you when they tell you, I ain't enough room, I ain't enough food. That's just to scare you. There is no such thing. God knew what he was doing when he put man on this earth. Amen.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about that. Amen. The wrath. Amen. Revelation the 16th chapter, verse 1. This is what John said. John said, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God
Woo!
And Yahweh upon the earth. Amen. This is coming soon. Amen. Amen. You can go down there. I mean, you can just read through the scriptures. Amen. It talks about verse 6, says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and that has given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Amen. They're going to receive, amen, amen.
All right.
The judgment of God is going to come. There is no stopping it. There is no postponing it. There is no running from it. There is no hiding from it. There is no getting away from it. Amen. There's no way getting away from this which is coming unless you happen to pass away at the beginning of the great tribulation. Amen.
Come on.
Which ain't
going to
be no
Come
better
on.
if you ain't saved. That ain't going to help you either way because you still going to end up in hell. Amen. We have to just be real with you. We don't want no one to be lost. We are looking for people who are looking for the truth. They're looking for answers. We want your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Because why?
Right.
Amen. God loves you. I love you. Amen. The watchman on the wall loves you, Elder Bazaar.
Amen.
Amen. This is what we want to see happen. We don't want to see all this doom and gloom that's coming to the earth. Amen. We want you to be saved. Amen. I want to talk about some things. How long will the tribulation last? It's going
Come
to
on.
Be a seven-year, amen,
amen,
time frame. 7 years.
Yes, sir.
And you may think 7 years is not a long time, but I tell you right now, if I was to think 7 years in the future, we're right now in 2022. 2029 is a long, long way. It's a long time, amen, to anticipate something or to have to go through something, amen, that you would dread. 7 years is a long time to deal with anything. That's enough to stress you out. Amen. And so we just want you all to realize that, hey, we love you. We are coming here to preach the gospel. We don't want nobody lost. We don't want nobody to go through the great tribulation, but we know that there's going to be so many people who laugh at us, mock us, say, oh, you know, such things as that. Yeah, I know if you got people in the church saying, oh, Christ ain't coming back. How you know Christ? If you got people in the church saying that, I can only imagine what the world is thinking. Amen.
Come on now.
So,
on now.
Amen. So I want to call your attention to Daniel's prophecy, the 70 weeks, okay? So we know the brother, he's done a good job, amen? And so we know that it's calculated, amen, at exactly 483 years, amen?
Come on,
so,
preacher. Come on, preacher.
Amen, amen. Just going to speak on a little bit, though, because I know the brother, I know he got it down. He's going to talk on a little bit, amen?
Ahead,
and, amen.
Yeah.
And so if the weeks – means 7 years for the first 69 weeks. It also means 7 years for the seventh week. So therefore, the Great Tribulation is a 7-year time period. So I'm already in the book of Revelation 17 chapter. I'm going to read verse 10 to show you what verse 10 says. It says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Amen. So when Christ described this short space, we talked about this yesterday on the air. Amen. Go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And I'm sorry, Matthew,
yes,
the 24th chapter. Amen. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Verse 22. Let's see what Christ said. Verse 22. Let's see what he said. Is it, and except those days, what days? The great tribulation, just right up above verse 22, Christ talks to them about what? For there shall be what? Great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22 says, and except. See, there's a conclusion. So we know that he's
Come
talking
on.
About what? The Great Tribulation, this 7-year period. He said, and he said, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Lord have mercy. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Amen. That who's elect? The chosen people of God that's going to go through. The church won't go through it. But we know that the Jews have 7 years of ministry left to do out of that 70 weeks, amen, the 69th week. And then that last week, amen, is the seven
amen.
Years. Amen. Again, this calculated to be 483 years total. But the last 7 years, amen, which is going to be the last, is going to be the gospel being preached by the Jews, last 7 years. And then you add that to the 483 years, gives you a total of 490 years. Amen.
Oh,
now watch
hallelujah.
This. Amen, brother. Amen. Now watch this. The midpoint of the tribulation is revealed to us, amen, in days and months. Amen. 42 months.
Yes, sir.
Revelation. Amen. Let me go back over to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, 11th chapter, verse 2. Amen. It says, but
Amen.
The court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot.
Yes, Lord.
42 months. Amen. So that's 42 months, which is calculated to be what? 1,260 days. Amen. Watch this. Now, I know I talked about this for a little bit. Amen. So I finally got a little notes here. Amen. Revelation, the 13th chapter. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 5. Watch what it says. It says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Who is this? This is the Antichrist. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, which is what? What is Revelation 13 chapter? It kicks off, amen, just right after verse 12, because we know that chapter 12 of Revelation is the starting point of, amen, it's in the middle of the Great Tribulation. And chapter 13 kicks off, amen, that last, amen, 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days. Amen, amen. I'm got some more scriptures to share with you, amen, bro. If I got a little time, just want to share a little bit some more scriptures with you, amen. So we know that Revelation 12 and 6. I'm gonna read this real quick. And I got one more scripture, amen. And if he want to go ahead and take it over, he can take it over. If not, I can have a little bit more things, but that's up to the brother. Okay. Amen. 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 Revelation the 12th chapter, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. No, 3 scores of 60. Amen. Which is a total of 1,260 days. Amen. Why am I talking about this? Because if you were on the air with us yesterday, listening and talking about these things, we talked about the Great Tribulation and the trouble and the judgment. We talked about how the tribulation is going to be divided and the things that are going to happen. Amen. These judgments, which are going to be in the tribulation. We talked about how in 7 years, every terrible thing that you can imagine that happened over the past 6 years, and I know that sounds impossible, that 6,000 years worth of things is going to happen in that seven-year period. Well, that's exactly the point. It talks about signs and wonders. If you remember in Moses' day, amen, you saw a lot of things in Moses' time and during the time of the prophets. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you know that Moses and who? Elijah is going to be back on the earth during this time. Amen. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going to happen in this great tribulation. Some people like to call it the D-Day, Doomsday. Well, it is Doomsday. Who is the Doomsday for? It's not for the saints. The Doomsday is for those who reject God, amen? And God is showing us so many different signs, and he's showing us the seasons. He's warning us constantly, amen? We pray that you don't ignore these warnings from the Most High God. It is highly important, amen, that we do not ignore these warnings, amen? So I always want to share a few more things, amen? I'm going to turn it over to the brother. Go to Daniel, amen. Hey, I'll just continue off from yesterday. Amen. Daniel, the 12th chapter. There it is. Went right to it. Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 7. Amen. Let's see what Daniel said. Amen. Watch what he said. Daniel said, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up in his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half." Amen. And
all right,
shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All things shall be finished. Amen. There's going to be a mighty message going to be preached. Amen. During the great tribulation, there will be some wonderful things that Moses and Elijah is going to do, just like Moses did with the children of Israel when he was in Egypt. A lot of things, God's going to give them the power and the authority. Amen. They're going to be spreading the gospel, amen, during this time period. Amen. Man, this is going to be something powerful, man. I tell you, it's going to be amazing. But we're going to be in heaven watching these things, looking down from heaven, watching these things happen. Amen. So you have to remember, amen, we're going to be in the spirit. So we're going to be just like Christ, and we're going to be able to see things, know things that we don't have the power to do so now, because we're going to be just like Christ, because the scripture says we shall be like he is, amen. We'll be able to look down from heaven and see all this stuff that's happening on the earth, amen. So family, amen, before I turn over to the brother, just want you to know this is a message not to be ignored, amen. We don't want nobody to be lost, amen. We're praying for your souls daily, day and night. I'm praying, brother. I know you praying, man. I'll be praying at night sometimes. Sometimes I'll be in the daytime. I just be praying. I'm watching the news. I say, Lord, let as many people enter into the gates, get into the kingdom before the trumpet sound. We want as many people the walkthrough, man. I want as many people to come in and receive God. It's a timeout for being against one another, timeout for jealousy, hatred. All that stuff is timeout for that. Amen. Get your life right. Get your soul ready. Amen. For the trumpets to blow. Amen. When we come back, amen, we're going to talk about some more things. We may get into the seals, the trumpets, and the bold judgments. When we come back, I'm going to let the brother go ahead and take it over, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to go ahead and stay on for a little bit longer. I've probably amen. I know the wife understands. Amen. But I'm going to stay on just a little bit longer. Go ahead, brother.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
That tribulation, boy, that's an awesome, awesome week. Out of 6,000 years, this would be the awesomest week ever known to human history. This would be the
Amen.
History of the week of all time, the end time. We are almost there. We are not far away. Before I get into something, I want to read this third chapter of St. John to let you know what it's going to take for you to get through, amen, the tribulation, and you to get to heaven. Here is what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, listen to what Nicodemus did when he came to Jesus by night. This is a key to heaven. This is the only way a man can ever enter the kingdom of God. If you don't come through with this, what Jesus told Nicodemus, and when he was talking to Nicodemus, he was talking to every human being up on the face of the earth. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is what I'm saying. If he's talking to Nicodemus, and this is what he told Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was a rabbi. And by him being a rabbi, he was ahead of the Jewish court. He was ahead of the Sanhedrin court. He was ahead of the Jewish Mosaic law. He knew the law. He knew the scripture. He knew the Old Testament. Now, here's what happened between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. Listen what happened. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be interrupted. He came by night because he, being a rabbi, didn't want nobody to see him talking to Jesus, because Jesus had a message for him. Not only he had a message for Nicodemus, but he had a message for the whole world. And this is the message. The same that came to Jesus by night and said to him,
Amen.
Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher to come from God. Anything that comes from God has to be God. Listen to what I'm saying. Anything that comes from God has to be God. And only God can speak God's word. Woo! When God speaks, that's God speaking.
Amen.
And when man speaks, that's man speaking. And when man speaks, he don't have no power compared to what God has to say. Now, listen to what he said. He said, you know your teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doth except God be with him. If God is with Jesus Christ, the only way that he could be with Jesus Christ, he had to be God. Jesus Christ had to be God because God was with him. Everywhere that Jesus went, that was God in the flesh. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is what I'm saying.
Amen.
Amen. Christ came here. Amen. The heaven didn't stop existing. Heaven was still going on. When he was in the manger, earth was still turning. The stars stayed in the air. The sun still shined. The moon and the earth still rotated around the sun. Now, here's a baby in the manger who is God Almighty, still had control of the world while he was in the manger. Now, you talking about a God? That's a God of gods and the Lord of lords, because no other man, no other deity, no other a pagan God ever did that. He was the only true God. So Nicodemus is learning something here tonight. He said, Jesus answered him, saying unto him, verily, verily, I said unto you and to thee, except a man be born again, wait a minute, except he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No man that not been born of God can ever see the kingdom of God. In other words, he never can enter into the presence of God's kingdom except he be born again. He didn't say except you go to church. He didn't accept how much money you got. He didn't say except you look good. He said except you be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old and gray? Can't hardly walk, can't hardly see, can't hardly speak. How can he, being old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus said, now look, as you talk about this new birth, hey man, can I go back into my mother's womb? In other words, can I reverse my age and come back to a baby, come back to a fetus, and go into my mother's womb and be born again? This is what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, what you talking about, preacher? Jesus was saying here, except a man be born of the water. How can a man be born in the water? I tell you, how can he be born in the water when a baby's born in the womb? Listen to what I'm saying. This is what you call birth. This is what happened in birth. When a baby is in a mother's womb, inside of that womb is nothing but water. That baby floats in water. That baby gets his thirst from the water in the womb. He lives in that womb for how long? 9 months is the period of time for a baby to be born. When a baby's getting ready to be born, what happens? The woman's water breaks. When it breaks, that water flows from her uterus. And that baby is ready to come out of that womb because no water is in what? In the womb, and the baby can't live in the womb except there be water. So when it comes out, that water comes out, that baby comes out, that baby is born of the water because that water sustains life inside of the mother's womb, and that baby comes out. When the baby comes out, amen, that baby is born of the water. And then Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born again of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your birthmark. The Holy Spirit is your birth status quo. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And God's Spirit can only be opened up by the blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, the fountain of blood was opened. And the shed blood that he died for your sins, now you can attain salvation through what? The blood of Jesus Christ and be born of the Spirit. When you're born of the Spirit, that means that Jesus Christ comes into your life and you're born of the Spirit. Woo! How can you be born of the Spirit? You're born of the Spirit by faith. Not by works, least any man should boast. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is and that he is the one that's able to reward you the new birth. The new birth is not of the flesh, it's of the Spirit of God. You must be born again. You got to be born. You need to be born again. The Jesus Christ said, if you're not born again, if you don't know me and the pardon of your sins through my son Jesus Christ by the shedding of his blood, you cannot, you will not be ever to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say nothing about works. Oh, no, no. He didn't say nothing about you working your way out of your mother's womb to be born. It didn't say nothing about you were born not by your own power. You were born by your mama and your father. Huh? Your mama and your father caused you to be born. And when you were born, you had no say-so whether you're going to be born or not. But when you were born, now you're not born of the Spirit when you come out your mother's womb. You're born of the flesh. You're born Flesh is flesh, and what spirit is spirit. So when you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you until you get the age of accountability to know right from wrong? Then you are required to be responsible for your sin. And now you've already been born physically, but now in order to live with God, talk with God, and have his same nature that he had, you must be born of the spirit. And what's born of the spirit is spirit, and what's born of the flesh is flesh. Ye must be born again. That's every born again Christian, every born again one that's been redeemed must be born again. I'm not, the reason I'm stressing on this because some people got it all backwards. Amen. They think you can work your way. They think you can cry your way. They think your mom and your daddy is a preacher and that you're good looking and you got good money that you can go to heaven. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, says you must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. I don't care if you're Catholic. I don't care if you belong to some kind of cult religion. I don't care if you got your own religion. I don't care what kind of religion you got, because your religion don't have enough power to know that you must be born again, because it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And if you want to be born again, Apostle Paul said, you got to confess him. Woo, you got to confess him with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you believe that and depend upon that and hope in that and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner, I'm lost, I'm undone, I'm a wretched, I'm a miserable person, because sin is nothing but miserable. And I don't care what kind of doctrine some preacher comes along and tell you some kind of Mickey Mouse joke or tell you something about Donald Duck or Goofy. But let me tell you, the word of God, Jesus didn't play. He told Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a man in high class, a man with probably good morals, but he need to be born again. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how well morally you live. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how you address yourself. I don't care how well educated you are. I don't care if you're the greatest football player. I don't care if you're the greatest basketball player. I don't care if you're the greatest movie star that ever walked this earth. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you KKK. I don't care if you KKK. I don't care if you NAACP. I don't care what organization you belong to, but let me tell you, you must be born again in order to live with Jesus Christ. Come on, man. I know that's right. Don't you know that's right? I know you know that's right, brother Jackson. Yes, hey, amen, brother. Let me tell you something. If I got to be born again to get into heaven, guess what? You got to be born again.
That's right.
God ain't got no pets. God ain't got no special people. Even the Jews. The Jews, God's chosen people, must be born again. God is not going to let the Jew get to heaven without being born again. Here's Nicodemus.
Right.
Ooh, here's Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Jesus tells him in a loving way. He tells him in a merciful way. Nicodemus, you must accept my power. You must accept my blood. You must accept the Savior of the world before you can ever live with God. Wow. But preacher, I want to try to work my way. No, you can't work your way to heaven. Come on, Pastor Paul. Yes. You can't not by works, least any man should boast. He said, all that I have is free. All that God given me is free. And let me tell you something, whoever listened to me this afternoon, salvation is free. You talk about free. Jesus Christ gives you salvation free. The only thing you got to do is say, Lord, give it to me. Lord, I need it. Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. Lord, I need to be redeemed. Lord, I need to be bought with a price. I need to be sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, because I know without your salvation through your blood and the Holy Spirit, I'm a lost soul on my way to hell.
Right.
Good God. We cannot. So any church member, how long have you been going to church? 40 years, 50 years, 90 years, 80 years, 30 years? You go to church that long, amen, and not know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in church. A lot of people consider himself as a born-again believer and live like the devil behind your back. They doing things that you wouldn't even think he's doing. We got preachers pushing in the pulpit, but they never tell you, you must be born again. I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm not going to pat you on the back. I'm not going to give you no good comment until what? You need to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you got to what? You got to confess it before men, because if you don't confess it before men, my Heavenly Father said, I will not confess you before my Father. You can't deny me, because if you deny me, I'm going to deny you before the throne of God. Now, let me tell you something. How can you tell somebody you saved and you ashamed to tell somebody you saved? I ain't scared to tell nobody I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I love people, and I want to see people get saved. I want to see young folks get saved. I want to see middle people get saved. I want people who's in prison, I want them to get saved. I want people on the street corner want to get saved. I want people anywhere I see them, I want them to know ye must be born again. I had to put that in there because I don't want people to get off on the thing that the only thing we know is Bible prophecy. Now, only thing we talking about Bible prophecy so much because we want you to be ready, amen, when Jesus Christ comes. And now listen to this. If you have not been born again and Christ raptures the church, guess what? You're going to be here on the earth during the tribulation period. You're going to be left here right in your tracks. You are going to see the seven-year tribulation appear. And when it appears, it's going to be hell on earth. We are almost at the time of the rapture. We're almost there. I cannot stand on top of a mountain and not proclaim. The watchman on the wall cannot stand on the top of Mount Everest, Mount Whitney. I cannot stand on the top of the mountain and not say that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. And everything that you see that the Bible has spoken about, from the battle of Armageddon to the gate of Gog and Magog war, until the rebuilding of the temple, until the fall of the Antichrist and the rise of the Antichrist, if I don't talk this gospel and talk this Bible prophecy, I need to shut my mouth. I need to go somewhere and stick my head in the sand, because it shows you born. I'll tell you one thing I'm willing to do. I'm willing to, if I'm not telling you the truth, if Brother Timothy is not telling you the truth, if we're telling a bunch of lies, I already made my vow. I say, Lord, I make a vow to you. If I'm lying, let fire fall on me. If I'm lying, let me be hung upside down. If I'm lying, let me suffer the punishment if I'm lying to you, Lord, because I know it's coming from the word of God. And I know you don't love liars, Lord, because no liar will stand in your presence. And I know Brother Tim ain't lying, and I know I ain't lying. What's your excuse for you not hearing the truth? Because you're going to hear the truth from Brother Tim, and you're going to hear it from me. I don't care what the count may call. You can get mad, but I tell you, if you get mad, that's a sign that you know that you need to repent and turn to the grace of God. Let grace of God save your soul. Let that new birth change your life, that you become a new creature. This seven-year tribulation, I think I got about 10 more minutes, because I do want to hear from Brother Tim a little bit before he have to leave. But I do want to tell you this. I'm going to read a scripture to let you know how close we are, definitely, in the book of Ezekiel. You're going to go back there, because there's a great scripture in the book of Ezekiel that verifies the seven-year tribulation. Woo!
Amen.
Listen, it says this in the 39th chapter. If you get that, it says the 39th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. It says, behold, it is come, and it is done, said the Lord God. This is the day where I have spoken of. What day? The day. And it says, and they shall dwell in the cities of Israel, shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shield, the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, the hand staffs, the spears. Now listen, get this now. Get this real good. And they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Wait a minute. 7 years? Where in the world they gonna have time to burn their fire and their weapons for 7 years? The only time in history only time in the ions and the eons and the eternity. The only time they are going to be able to burn the weapons is in the seven-year tribulation. Well, where's the seven-year tribulation at? The seven-year tribulation, this cannot happen now. It can't happen in 2022. Woo! It cannot happen in 22. Because, number one, Russia just now, about 3 weeks ago, decided to go north and go to the Ukraine border and bring up 100,000 men and then added 25,000 more. They got tanks. They got planes. They got missiles. They got men. They got hand grenades. They got silos and missiles getting ready to cross the border while they're crossing the border. They're crossing the border because the only way, good God Almighty, from Zion, the only way they can get down there to Jerusalem, they got to come through the Ukraine Valley. They got to come through the Ukraine Mountains. They got to go down to Belarus. They got to go down on down to Syria and Jordan. They got to come on down to the top side of Damascus, and they got to go into a valley called the Valley of Megiddo, and that Valley of Megiddo is found on the Holy Mountains of Israel. And just before the valley, they get to the valley, Israel is standing in a safety zone, because that safety zone is protected by the eternal God. The Israel is protected by Yahweh. Israel is the top, is protected by the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Isaiah and Jeremiah. That valley and the land of Israel is the richest land on the planet. They got more oil. They got more food. They got more fertilizer. They got everything. They can grow three seasons of food three times a year. Good God Almighty. They can grow season food almost year-round. Year-round. They got water. They got salt. They got potash, which is a fertilizer that they can fertilize the land. And let me tell you, when that fertilizer hit that dirt and they mix it up in between all that soil and put a seed in there, they grow like watermelon, grapes grow like oranges. They got all kinds of riches in the land. And Russia and Putin and the five legal nations are trying to get to the Middle East. But first, they got to take Ukraine. If Ukraine is invaded, that means they're making their move when they start making their move. And after that battle, and guess what? This is known fact. This battle cannot start. Listen. Oh, my God, have mercy on me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This battle cannot start until the removal of the body of Christ. Ooh, that means it won't happen until the rapture of the body of Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It won't happen. It's going to take at least 8 to 9 months for them to get down there in that position. And it's getting closer and closer to the feast day. The feast day of the trumpet. Rosh Hashanah, the feast of the trumpet. I don't know what hour. I don't know what day. I don't know. But one thing, I know the season and the time that we're living in is pointing right to the month of September, the feast of the trumpet. If you are not ready, good God Almighty, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know his redemptive power, if you don't know he got up from the grave on the third day morning, if you don't know about the power that Jesus Christ has to save your soul and you haven't accepted him, you will be left here doing this battle. And this battle is going to be more terrifying than World War One and World War Two put
it
together.
It sure is. Man, it sure is.
They got ballistic missiles. They got the A-bomb. They got the C-bomb. They got little boy and big boy. They got airplanes. They got all kinds of weaponry to go into the land, and nobody will be able to stop them. They tell me nobody will be able to stop them, not the United States, not England. Nobody will be able to stop this great horde of men coming down on horses and staves in their hand, and they're going to take the land. But when they get up on the city of Jerusalem, Listen, when they get up on the city of Jerusalem, God Almighty, I don't think you got that. I say God Almighty is going to cause a great earthquake. It will be so great that it will be felt around the world. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. It's going to be felt from the east and north, the south, and the west. They're going to feel it's going to be so great in the land. And the men that's going to come down with Russia are going to be so confused that they will literally shoot themselves and each other, because it's going to be a terrifying thing, because the Lord said in that day, I'm going to sanctify my name. I'm going to stop all this ridicule of my name. You don't profane my name. You don't dog my name. You don't blaspheme my name. You don't cuss my name. I'm going to show the world that I'm tired. I love you, but I'm tired of you playing games with me. Because right. God don't know nothing about pool. He don't know nothing about Cracker Jack. He don't know nothing about that, because he's not a playing God. And folks today is playing Cracker Jack with God. Church folks playing Cracker Jack with God. They expect God to accept everything that they put down. But the Bible said God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ezekiel, as I already told us. I'm going to read this. I'm going to turn it over to the brother. Now listen to what this says. It says, it shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. For they shall burn the weaponry with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it came to pass in that day, what day? Magog and Magog day, that I will give unto God a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the pastures on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, that they shall bury God and all the multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamagod. And listen, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, and they may cleanse the land. It's going to take 7 years.
Wow.
It's going to take 7 months to get rid of the dead bodies and the corpse that's left on the side of the mountain. They're going to have to dig graves and put these bodies in the grave, and they got to cleanse the land quickly, because Israel don't want no defile in the land, because they're ready for the Antichrist. Amen. To give them a what? Give them a okay to build a temple. So they're going to have to sanctify the land before they can build the temple. And the temple right now is in preparation to be built. They got the priests, they got the helpers, they got the Ark of the Covenant, because the Jews believe that when this false Antichrist comes, they're going to believe that he is Jesus Christ, when it will be the instrument of the devil. And the world today is looking for what? They're looking for a Superman. They're looking for Batman. They're looking for Wonder Woman. They're looking for the X-Men. They're looking for all kinds of superhuman powers to straighten this world out. And there's only one man. Good God Almighty from Zion. There's only one man that could straighten the whole world out. And his name is called the Prince of Peace. His name is called the King of Kings. His name is called the Lord of Lords. His name is called the one that comes from Edom with dyed garments on. He's called the Rose of Sharon. He's called the Lily of the Valley. He's called the Redeemer. He's called the Savior of the world. He's getting ready to come back to earth. But before he come back, God's going to sanctify himself. And men, faces are going to turn to terror. They're going to beat on each other. And this is proven in the book of Revelation in the 6th chapter, where John said, I saw a red horse. That red horse represents Putin. Putin is the red horse. Now, don't look at Putin and think he's going to turn red. No, he ain't going to turn red. But he is a symbolic of this red horse that's going to ride after the white horse. The white horse is the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes on the scene, and then the red horse comes. So when the white horse comes and get here, then there's a war going to break out in the Middle East. And since the war is going to break out in the Middle East, it cannot break out until after the rapture of the church. Because when the rapture of the church occurs, it's going to leave America in a bad shape. It's going to leave a lot of nations in bad shape, but especially America, because America has more Christians, amen. And I'm not counting the so-called Christians. God got some true men in America, good preachers in America that's preaching the truth, preaching the end time, preaching the redemption of Jesus Christ. And when the church is removed out, guess what? I'm closing. There won't be one saved person left on this earth. The whole world will be totally under the bound of sin. And God is going to remove the church. But after he removes the church, he's going to send 144,000 Jews. And in the latter part of the tribulation, he's going to send the two witnesses. And they are going to what? Preach the gospel for 7 years. 7 years of bearing the weapons in Russia, and 7 months and bearing the bodies. All this will be going on at the same time. God is saying it is done. He's saying, Brother Timothy Jackson, preach the gospel. He said, Brother Bazaar, y'all preach the gospel. Don't worry about the number that's listening. Just preach the gospel. Because if you preaching it and they hear it, God, your blood is not going to be on their hand. So that's what me and Brother Tim are doing. We are doing this because we're obligated. We're doing this because we made a vow. We're doing this because we're going to tell the truth, whether you like it or not. So when we come to the close, you can say this. Where'd you get this new birth from? You talk to Jesus about that. Because I can't rebirth. No man can rebirth another man. The only one I can bring into existence, I can bring a baby into the world by the gift that God gave me to have children.
Amen. That's right.
I can't sanctify you. I can't do nothing when it comes to the word of God, because Jesus Christ is the only one. Oh, my God. Not Buddha, not Shintoism, not Jehovah's Witness. Nobody can change your life but Jesus Christ. Why don't you try him today? Why don't you come to him today? Quit playing with God. Can't you see what's going on in the world today? It's on the news, it's on the iPad, it's on Instagram, it's on all the networks that you can think they're coming up with, and it's gonna increase as we go into 2022. It's gonna increase until people gonna say, "Oh my God, we in trouble." Church folks gonna say, "We need to quit going to church, sitting around playing tic-tac-toe and Mickey Mouse, and fall on our knees and say, Lord, help me to escape from the wrath to come." And the wrath of God is a 7-year tribulation. Woo! Brother Jackson, go ahead and roll with it, brother.
Amen, brother. I could just let you finish. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. As the brother said, amen, time is up. Time is out. Amen. For playing games, amen. We have to get the church, amen, prepared. Amen. That's why I'll decide to go ahead and stay on a little bit longer. Amen. But I want everyone to know, amen, that we love you all, amen. If you don't know that we love you by now, amen, something wrong with you, amen. Let's just say that. And if you don't know by now that we love you, amen, because let me try to say right now, amen, there's a whole lot of other things I could be doing, amen, but I'd rather be preaching the gospel, amen. I'd rather be giving what God gave me to do and being obedient to his will and giving you the word, amen. Sometimes I know it means spending a little time away from the family, but it's okay, amen. God's going to make up, and he's going to allow time and make up time, amen. So, amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. In Revelation 13 chapter. Got to go there real quick. Amen. Revelation 13 chapter. This is going to kick up. Amen. Excuse me. Going to kick off the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Amen. Now.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, comfort one another with these words, and the times and the seasons Paul said that we need not to what? Concern ourselves as the saints. Why? Because we will not be here for the great tribulation. If you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart, Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, you've accepted salvation. You don't have to worry about going through the great tribulation, nor will you ever have to worry about the mark of the beast. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen and hallelujah. I can say, brother, I know you can say, amen and hallelujah. I thank him so much for his grace. Now, that's what you talk. That's what you call grace and mercy. That's what it is, Doctor. Grace and mercy. Amen. I showed you some scripture all yesterday. Amen. If you didn't, the chance, go back and listen to it. Amen. How God is going to remove his people out of the way. Even the Jews during that time, he's going to hide them. He's going to protect them from the wrath of the enemy, which is the Antichrist. Amen. You can read Revelation, the 12th chapter, to get a more vivid picture of how God is going to protect the children of Israel. Amen. During this time, and he's going to deliver the church before this time. Amen. We won't have to worry about this. Revelation is not for those who believe in God right now. If you're a believer right now, you have nothing to worry about. I tell people, man, why are you stressing over this corona stuff? Huh?
Come on.
Why are you stressing over this mandate?
Come on.
Huh? Come on now. Why are you worried about your bills and everything? He said, man, we gonna inherit the greatest gift in all existence. You worry about a house? You worry about a car?
Come on.
You worry about your job? You worry about a mandate? Man, please, we got bigger things to worry about. Amen. We got bigger fish to fry. We need to get out here and preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm just going to be real with you. If they try to tell me some crazy stuff, amen, you may see me on YouTube on a street corner preaching the word. Amen. I'm just going to be real with you. Amen. Because, amen, they can do whatever. Amen. Because it's in God's hand. Amen. I'd rather be right with God and wrong with me, and then to be right with me and then wrong with God. Lord, have
come
mercy.
On,
amen. Amen. I want you all to receive salvation. Stop worrying and give it over to God. He said, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. I am more than the world against you. Amen. Amen. And the world can do you no harm. Amen. Amen. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. Amen. We don't have to fear man's mandate and all this stuff. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there saying, I wish they would. Some folks was welcoming them. They said, bring it on. Amen. I don't know if they're in church or not. They said, bring it on. If they want a mandate, you go right ahead. I said, man, they just don't know.
They don't
man,
know.
Man, they're going to bring down God. Amen. They're going to bring down, amen, the wrath of God sooner than what they can. They think they really doing something. But see, they are so blinded. Satan has got them so blinded. They trust Satan. Amen. They going both ways and every which way and that way and the wrong way and the one way. Amen. They going down the one way, the wrong way is what I'm saying. Amen. And they think that they got the answer. Amen. They're about to kick off this one world religion. Oh, they think they're about to have it made. They think they're about to have it made, but they just do not know. See, Paul talked about the mystery. He said, behold. When you say behold, what does that mean? Look.
Look out.
Behold, I want you to pay attention. Behold, I show you a mystery. That's right. Amen. That's what Paul said. Pay attention. Look, I'm showing you a mystery. Paul said, don't worry about it. It's not for us. He said, comfort one another with these words. We are in comfort. We don't walk through this world worrying about all the tribulations about that. Okay, well, it ain't happening for us. It's happening for those who are rejecting Christ. So if you are a rejecter of the Most High God, man, there's a whole lot of stuff about to happen. You about to be starving. You ain't about to have no water. You ain't about to have no electricity. You have to accept the mark. If you make it to the last 3.5 years, you got to have a mark on your forehead, a mark in your hand, just to buy or sell. It's going to be horrible. That's not to mention all the different things that are about to come to this earth. Amen. But what Christ, the Messiah, is doing, he's about to prepare who? the Jews. He's preparing the church. He's come back to
yes,
the
he
church.
Is. Yes,
and
he
now
is.
He's about to prepare for the Jews, the ones who are blinded to the gospel. Amen. So I want to call your attention to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses
come
9
on, preach.
And 10. Amen. We're going to show you what it says. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Who is this people? Amen. The God's chosen people. Amen. You best believe, amen. God is fixing to wake deep and shake this planet. Amen. The 144 is going to come out preaching the gospel.
We
read about them in Revelation, the 7th chapter. They're going to be
yes,
doing
bro.
Their own preaching, bro. They're going to be preaching the millennium. Christ is coming back. Amen. And like
amen.
I said, we want to be part of this blessing, bro. I know we are so blessed. Amen, to have salvation. I just want as many people to get saved as possible. I really wish that everybody could go to heaven. I really wish that. I'm not just saying that because I don't want to see nobody lost. Because you want to know why, man?
You.
The lake of fire is such a terror. It just bothered me that, amen, that it is. But I understand why God created it. Amen. I understand why. Because why? Man is so wicked. Man is so
wicked.
Amen. They want to do what they want to do. They're so rebellious. And so God says, okay, since you have chosen this path, this is what's going to happen. Amen. I want to call your attention now to Romans, in the 11th chapter, verses 27. If I got some time, I want to share with you what Paul said.
Go ahead, bro.
Amen. This is Revelation, I'm sorry, Romans. So this is Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 17 through 27. Watch what he said. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, was grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. Amen. But the
amen.
Root, the but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I may be grafted in. Amen. Well, because
amen.
Of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, but not high-minded, but spirit. Amen. See, we're here because who? Because the original would not do right. The children of Israel would
come
not
on.
Do with God. And, man, I'm going to tell you, I remember I read it because, you know, my dad used to always tell me, make sure you read the Old Testament. I was just good about studying the New Testament. So I took it upon myself to read the Old Testament. Amen. I hadn't really studied it in depth like I do the New Testament. But, man, it's a shock how many times God was, his grace and mercy was upon the children of Israel. Man, they would disobey God. They would cry, God would punish them. God would give them, he would forgive them. Amen. They come back. Then they turn around and disobey God and idolize other God. God's will punish them. He turn around, show his grace and mercy. Then they turn around again and run back and idolize the false gods, the false worship. God will punish them, and then they'll come back crying to God, and God will deliver them. I said, man, no wonder why they were, amen, in the situation that they were in. Amen. But this led to what? Ultimately, unbelief. The whole nation, not the whole, but amen, but majority of the nation as a whole was lost because they chose not to follow God. Amen. That allowed for amen, the Gentiles to come in to receive salvation, the church.
Thank
amen.
You.
Because
Thank
why?
You.
Amen. Because now they didn't want to spread the gospel. God said, you know what? Amen. I'm going to get somebody else to preach my word, teach my word. Amen. And the script Paul said,
amen.
But he said, but Paul said, be not what? High-minded, but fear. Fear who? Fear God. Amen. Now, we don't fear the devil, but we do fear God. We reverence him and we respect God. Amen. But we're not to be high-minded. We're not to think of ourselves high or better than anybody else. I'm not better than somebody because they're an unbeliever and I'm a believer. I just want them to get saved. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want no one to miss out on salvation in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
I just want you to get saved and come. Amen. Receive the kingdom of God. Amen. That's all I want. Amen. I want you to be saved. Now watch what it says. Verse 21. It says, for if God spare not the natural branches, amen, that's who the children of Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee, amen. Who are we? And they were the chosen people of God, amen. So we have to be up in our walk, amen, not be not high-minded and prideful. That's what's wrong with the church now. They ain't got beside themselves, just like the nation of Israel. They didn't forgot love, their first love, which is what? Love. That's the first love. That's why Christ said, he said, he told the disciples the first two commandments, that's all you need to focus on. And what's that? Focus on love. See, if you start getting high-minded, all besides yourself, getting into titles, you begin to be boastful, stick your chest out, you become prideful. You know, pride is not good. Amen. Then you now are pushing out what? Love. Because you think you're better than somebody. But no, we don't think that way. I'm not better than nobody. But that's why we say all the time that we what? We love you, because that keeps us humble. Amen. When we share with you and let you know that we love you. Amen. Now watch what verse 22 says.
Amen.
It says, behold, therefore the goodness and severity of Yahweh, and on them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his what? Goodness. Amen. I just talked about that. Otherwise, thou also shall be what? Cut off. No, sir. We don't want that. That's why we stay humble. That's why we preach love and teach salvation from the beginning. We teach once saved, always saved. Now I know that my salvation is taken care of. All Tim has to do is focus on his man every day, loving people, being obedient to God's word, keeping his commandments. But man, if I just focus on love, I would keep his commandments. That's what Christ said. Love God and love your neighbor. Amen. If you focus on those two things, see you got folks trying to focus on, I'm trying to focus on not cussing, or I'm trying to focus on not fornicating or committing adultery, and I'm trying to focus on not doing this stealing and lying and cheating. Don't focus on that. Amen. If you just focus on love, the world will be a better place. The people don't understand. See, if they teach that in church, the world will be a much better place. If you focus on love, you ain't got to worry about cheating. If you focus on love, you ain't got to worry about fornicating and committing adultery. If you focus on love, you ain't got to worry about stealing and cheating and lying and going on. If you just what?
Come on.
Focus on love. That's what Christ was pushing home when he told the disciples, amen, love God with all your being, and love your neighbors as you would love yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what Christ was saying. And I'm trying to move a little faster. Amen. And watch what it says. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not, still in unbelief, amen, there shall be grafted in. Amen. For God is able to graft them in who again? Graft who in again? The children of Israel. Come on, Jews. Amen. He's able to bring them back in if they what? Believe. Amen. See, he ain't saying about works. The brother just said it. He ain't saying about being good. Amen. He said just what? Believe. Have faith and focus on love. I told you, my ministry is salvation and love. I've been preaching this for all going on. In April, it'll be 22 years. I've been focusing on salvation and love. Amen. That's my ministry. Amen. And now watch what it says. It says, verse 24, for if thou was cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and was grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Ooh, man. It says, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye be what? Ignorant. Boy, I love the way Paul writes of this mystery. Least ye should be wise in your own conceits. Amen. Be careful about that.
Amen.
That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. We know that what?
Ooh.
The fullness of the age of the Gentiles is just about over. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on.
It's just about over.
Yeah.
And it says, and what? Now, watch what Paul said here. These next two verses, my dad used to always say, he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. Amen. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer,
woo,
and they'll turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Amen. Who's
yes.
going to do this thing? Our Lord and Savior. Amen. Bless and praise his holy name. Amen. We thank him for his sacrifice on the cross. Verse 27 says, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
Lord.
Amen. I have to read that and share that with you. Amen. Got a little bit more of the brother. Give it to me before I shut down.
Go ahead,
we got like 45 more minutes, I believe. Amen, if I'm correct. I may be wrong in my calculation. I'm not for certain.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Okay, amen. Or is it, okay, yeah, it is. Okay. Amen. Amen. So now, amen. Amen. Think about this. Amen. The church, I mean, so watch this. The church, we've already said, won't be here in the tribulation, but the Jews will, okay? Amen. So they will be regathered to the land of Israel. Amen. Romans, the 11th chapter. Amen. The tribulation will bring them to faith in who? The Messiah. Amen.
Messiah.
They're going to say, man, this Antichrist guy, he ain't about nothing. Amen. Ray, he ain't about nothing. Go to Revelation 12 and 17. Amen. Let me show you. Let me talk to you a little bit more. Revelation 12 and 17. Watch this. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Who? Who's the dragon? We already know who the dragon is. That old devil, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call himself. That one that rebelled against God in the beginning. Amen. He is mad at who? The nation of Israel. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Amen. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. God is not through with Israel. Israel brought in who? The Messiah. He'll never be done with his people. That's it. Amen. He loved Israel. Amen. There were some good things that came out of Israel. Man, with the word of God. Amen. They brought salvation. Come on, doctor. They brought salvation to the world. Amen. Amen. And finally, the nation of Israel turns to Christ at his second advent. And I just read that to you over in Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 26, amen, which I feel like reading it again. Let me go back. All of Israel shall be saved, meaning that they're going to turn back to God as it is written. It's already written. It's got to happen. It's scripture. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. They will no longer question who was their God. They will no follow false gods and Lucifer and Satan, all these false religions that's here. They going to know the truth. Amen. Because why?
Amen.
God said so in his word. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So who's going to be saved out of the tribulation? Amen. So the Holy Spirit, people say the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. The Holy Spirit can't be removed. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Can you remove the wind? No.
Uh-huh.
Can you remove air? No. Can you remove the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times. It cannot be removed. Amen. Come on, doctor. You can't remove the Holy Spirit is going to allow. He's just going to move back temporarily. For 7 years, he's going to say, okay, just for 7 years, but he is what? God is still on the throne and in control. So they will not get too far out of hand because the Holy Spirit will not permit it. Amen. You better know who God is. Amen. Devil ain't got no power. Amen. Because God is what? He is still omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? He is everywhere at all times. So how can he be removed if he is everywhere at all times? He'll never be removed, amen. But he will step back for a little while, for a short season. Amen. Amen. Now he will still be operating on what? On the earth, regenerating people and receiving salvation. Amen.
Yes,
so only being dwelling on the earth. Amen. Amen. So he's still going to be indwelling during the tribulation. Amen. Brother, go ahead. I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother. I enjoyed you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to listen for a little bit longer. I'm going to enjoy the family. I love each and every one of you. Hopefully something is said, amen, to bless your heart, to bless your spirit. Remember, if you want a part of this blessing, that's what I'm going to say. If you want to be a part of this gift, man, this is a free gift. Free.
Free.
We love free. We love free dogs. When I go to Sam's Club, they got them free samples. I love free. Amen.
Amen.
If somebody want to bless me, this is what a mature in age brother told me one time. Because I had a habit of when people try to give me some. Amen. I would say, no, it's okay. He said, brother, he said, don't never miss out on your blessing. Because he said, because the person who's giving is being more blessed than you are.
He said,
so if somebody want to bless you with $5 or $10, brother, you always receive it. I said, wow, I never looked at it that way. He said, yeah, you always receive it because you want to know why. You're stopping their blessing, and you don't want to stop their blessing. What is that with the book of Acts? I think it's Acts the 20th chapter, verse 35. I believe that's the let me see if I can find it. I don't want to misquote. I think it's Acts the 20th chapter, verse 35. The Christ said, he talks about, oh, there it is. It is Acts the 20th chapter, verse 35. And watch what Paul said. Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember, watch what he said, the words of the Lord Jesus, Yahshuah. How he said, Paul said, Paul said, the Holy Scripture, the word of God himself said it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.
Yeah.
More blessed, the giver. Amen. My brother's been blessing me with some knowledge. Amen. I received the knowledge. I thank the brother for the knowledge and the information. So who's going to be blessed, the receiver or the giver? The giver.
All right.
More blessed than the receiver. Why? You say, well, Pastor, why is the giver more blessed than the receiver? I would think somebody gave you $1 million that the receiver would be more blessed than the giver. No, because the giver had it to give. In order for you to give $1 million, it took you something to receive that. Meaning you had to do some work. You had to do something. You had to get some knowledge. You had to do whatever you had to do to get it in order to be able to give it, just like your job. That's why you're so blessed when you pay your tithes, because why? You had to go to work, spend 40 hours on the job, go through whatever you had to go through in your job to get paid, and then be a blessing. Amen?
Yeah.
The giver is more, that's why Christ said, is more blessed to give than to receive. So I thank God for this gift. And that's why I had to stay on a little bit long with the brother to be a giver. Amen. And bless him and bless those that are listening. Because I want someone to be blessed. I want somebody to be saved. I do not want you to miss this. Man, if you're listening to this, it ain't going to be no excuse when you stand before the great white throne judgment. It's just not going to be no excuse. You're going to have to answer for your sins. And you have to pay for that. You can't pay for what Christ did. Nobody can pay for the sins. I got too much on my record. Amen. You know how the brothers talk about when they go down. Amen, baby. When they talk. I got some brothers that been down. They ain't been to prison. And say, man, I got one brother. He's swerving down. I don't know if it's true. But, bro, he said he ain't been to jail over 200 times. I said, you ain't been to jail no 200 times. Hey, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother. He said, man, I said, yes, I have. I've been to jail over 200 times. And he's been a guy right now. He's been cutting up a lot. He's more humble now. He ain't got no holder. But, man, oh, boy, he was H-E double hockey sticks on wheels back in the day. He was something to deal with. I thank God for blessing him and spreading his life to make it this far. Oh, yeah, man. He done been in two car accidents. He didn't flip the car. I remember one time, if I'm not mistaken, he said he flipped that car about 10 to 20 times. I said, boy, it ain't nothing but God and your dad and your mom and the folks before us to pray for. He used to cut up, man. But, he didn't tore up some car. I said, bro, he didn't cut up. But I thank God for his life and God's grace and mercy for sparing him and his salvation. We're praying for him. But, amen. But I just want you to know, amen, it's not going to be no excuse. We want you to become saved and to receive salvation. I can't pay for my sin. My record is too long and it don't look too hot. Hey, I'm just going to be real with you. I ain't better know. Hey, brother, I ain't one of these preachers that sit up in a glass house and throw rocks and act like I live in a glass house. Because I'm going to tell you something. I got stains on my garment as well. I ain't better than nobody. That's why the Bible said we are what? Still as filthy rags. And if I had to stand before God and ask for all the things that I did, man, I would do nothing but hang my head. And I would know that I have to go to the lake of fire because I know I've done some bad, wrong things. Let's just be real, amen. People act like they ain't did nothing. No. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And I thank him for his grace and mercy in sending his son to being humble, to die for my sins so that I won't have to pay for my sins. Instead of going to the great white throne judgment, brother, we'll be at the bema seat. God bless
Come
you.
On, Richard.
I love
Come
you.
On,
Richard. Amen. And you have a wonderful night. But I'll be talking to you, but I'll be in touch.
All right. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. The Christian faith is the only faith in the Bible. There's no other faith outside of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, if we want to be saved, if we want to be sanctified, if we want to be redeemed, the only way we can be redeemed is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We got all kinds of religions and seances and occults and all kinds of deities that's trying to claim salvation. But there's no other salvation given among men than the name of Jesus Christ. We got the humanism. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. Now, this is humanism. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. We got Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. We got the occults. They don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's some other ones. Evolution. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. Witchcraft. No blood. Atheism. No blood. Buddhism. No blood. Taoism. No blood. Islam. No blood. Secularism. No blood. Judaism. Oh, stop right there. Don't say nothing else. Oh, yes. Judaism. In the Old Testament, amen, had a blood sacrifice, a animal blood sacrifice. But that direction and that instruction was given to God, to the Israelites, to use animal blood for the offering of sin until the ultimate sacrifice comes. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Judaism was a total blood sacrifice of Adam for the remission of men's sin in the Old Testament. It lasted for about 3,000 years that they offered up sacrifices of animals. And that was only a type and shadow of the ultimate sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice, oh my God, woo! I can't find no other name. I can't find no other deity. I can't find no other God other than the God of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is God Almighty in the flesh. And he became man, and he had a blood system, and the blood system was spotless. The blood system was powerful. The blood system is the only blood that could sanctify your soul. He died once and for all. There's no more dying of Jesus Christ on the cross. He did it one time. He did it one time to save you one time. You can't be saved 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 20 times. Amen. The only salvation that can deliver you permanently from sin, death, hell, and the grave is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, is no remission of sin. Without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, there's no remission of sin. Without the suffering and the death and the burial of Jesus Christ, there's no remission of sin. Oh, yes, without anything that Jesus done, and that's the ultimate that he done. Oh, yes, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He walked on water. He turned the water to wine. He took 2 fishes and 5 barley of bread and fed 5,000. Yes, he came and called the dead from the graveyard. And then, most of all, if he would have done all that and went back to heaven, there would be no way to escape the damnations of hell. But Jesus Christ died Good God Almighty. He died. Good God Almighty. He died and suffered on Calvary's cross. And on the third day morning, before he come up out of the pits of hell, yeah, he was in there 3 days and three nights. And on the third day morning, he got up out the grave with all power. All power. Taoism didn't have that power. Islam don't have that power. Circleism don't have that power. Judaism don't have that power. Paganism don't have that power. Agnosticism don't have that power. Hinduism don't have that power. Spiritualism don't have that power. Bayard don't have that power. Scientologists don't have that power. Deists don't have that power. Voodoo don't have that power. Satanism don't have that power. Mormonism don't have that power. Baptists don't have that power. Catholics don't have that power to deliver you from sin. The only way that man can be set free, the only way man can get his sin washed away, the only man that can redeem him from sin is the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friends, we love you. We love you. I hope you have been encouraged. I hope you have opened up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and see what the Word of God says. It says there is no other salvation whereby we can be saved. And the Bible plainly just tells us, amen, at the name of Jesus, only his name. You don't have to bow down to no other name, but there's one name you got to bow down to, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the only one. He's the only one that could be God Almighty in the flesh. There's no other Christ that's coming. The only thing that's coming is the fake, falsified, quackpot Antichrist. He is here on the earth now. Now he is on the earth. He is alive. I'm talking about he's alive more than you alive. He is waiting for the proper moment. He's waiting for the proper second. He's waiting for the proper month. He's waiting for the proper day that he will come on the scene. And the world, you hear what I said? I said the world today is looking for a human Superman. They're looking for a superhuman being to come on this earth to try to fix it up, try to make it better, try to deceive the people of the world. And majority of the world, my God, did you realize what I'm going to say? Majority of the world will be deceived. That's awesome. Majority of the world will be cast into the lake of fire because they believe that this Antichrist is Jesus Christ. When he is not Jesus Christ, he's the Antichrist. He's anti-God. He's anti-holy. He's anti on everything that pertains to the holiness and the righteousness and the eternal God. He hates God. He resists God. He wants to destroy God. He wants to destroy his God's people. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, quoted 16th chapter, the 18th verse in St. Matthew, up on the rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What you going to build it out of, Jesus? I'm going to build it out of my blood. Who are you going to build it for? Who are you going to build it out of? I'm going to build it out of sinners. I'm going to convert sinners. I'm going to redeem sinners. I'm going to save sinners from their sin. I'm going to save them from their degradation. I'm going to save them from their whoremongering. I'm going to save them from their lying and cheating and backbiting. I'm going to save them from homosexual. I'm going to save them from lesbianism. I'm going to save them from bestiality. I'm going to save them to the utmost. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it through my blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know there's power. I felt his power. I can see his power in my life. I can see it in your life if you know who I'm talking about, if you know him in the pardon of your sin. And I can know that you know if you've been born again, because you got to be born again. If you're going to see Jesus, if you're going to escape the 7-year tribulation and be caught in the rapture. You got to know Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. It is urgent. You can take this to ICCU, to the emergency center, and lay you down on a clot and give you a blood transfusion to try to save your life, the physical life. And if you don't get that blood in time enough, the doctor will say, I can't save it because I don't have the blood plasma. I don't have no blood that I can put in his veins so that he can live a little while longer in this physical life. Yeah, but I know another blood. I know another blood that can save you in your spiritual life. And the world today needs a blood transfusion because men, women, old women, young women, pretty women, ugly women, pretty men, ugly men are dying without the blood of Jesus Christ shed abroad in their heart. And when they die without the blood transfusion, divine blood transfusion, they will lift their eyes up in hell. Why are you going to hell? I'm going to hell because I haven't had a blood transfusion. What you talking about? I'm talking about a divine, sanctified blood transfusion. Who you get it from? Who is giving free blood out? Who shed his blood on Calvary? Who bowed his head and dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and bled to death on Calvary's cross? Who went down into the bowels of hell and preached to those in prison to let them know the sacrifice is finished? And now I'm going to preach to those in prison. I'm going to preach to those in paradise. I'm going to preach those in hell and let them know victory. Victory is won. And on the third day morning, the Almighty God raised his own son and brought him back to life and walked on the face of the earth. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God, good God Almighty, I'm saying God resurrected himself. He resurrected himself on his own power. There's no other man in human history. There's no man on the other side of eternity. There's no man below eternity. There's no man above eternity that did what Jesus Christ done, because he is eternity. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the A in the alphabet. He's the Alpha in the alphabet. He's the B in the righteous branch. He's C as Christ. He's D, the Son of David. He's E, the Eternal One. He's F, the Father. He's G, God Almighty. He's H, the Hosanna, Hosanna. He's the I, Emmanuel. He's the J, his name is Jesus. He's the H, he's Hosanna. He's the I, and he's the K, the King of Kings. He's the L, the Lord of Lords. He's the M, he's the Messiah. He's the one that come from Nazareth. He's the O, the Holy One. He's the P, the Prince of Peace. He's the Q, he's the quickening spirit. Yeah, he's the one, yeah, that came from the grave. Yes, he's the one. Jesus Christ is the one. The world is rejecting the love of God, rejecting his long-suffering mercy. God has been suffering to redeem man for 6,000 years. He has went to the high, he went to the low, he went to the wide, he went to the out of eternity. He gave everything he had, and the only thing he had, you hear what I'm saying? The only thing God had was his son, Jesus Christ, himself. Cherubims couldn't do it. Seraphims couldn't do it. Teraphims couldn't do it. No demon in hell could do it. No Nephilim can do it. No aliens could do it. No prophet could do it. Nobody could do what Jesus Christ done. And the reason why is because he is God Almighty. And the God that I serve can do anything but fail. And when he died, it brought salvation to every human being up on this planet. And the only thing you got to do is bow your heads, repent of your sins, and break down with a contrite spirit and be sorry for the sin that you have sinned against a holy God. God has been holy throughout eternity. Before the world began, God is holy. Before anything was made, God was holy. That's one of his greatest attributes. He cannot stand sin. He cannot stand evil. Before evil was ever brought into existence by Lucifer, God could not stand evil. But when evil came into the human race, it condemned, it damned men's soul. And the only way that men could be saved and be redeemed was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brought salvation to every human being. Now, if he brought salvation to every human being, and the human race, and the individual, every individual on this planet, if they reject this ultimate salvation for free from what? Free from the devil, free from sin, free from damnation, free from animosity, free from jealousy, free, oh my God, free from homosexual, free from lesbianism, free from bestiality, free. You talk about free to do what? Free to serve the living holy God. Because you can't serve God with sin. You can't serve God in unbelief. You can't serve God being a hypocrite. You can't serve God half-heartedly. You got to go all the way. And you got to repent of every low-down, dirty, rotten sin that you have ever committed. And the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thank God for Jesus Christ and his blood, because now I am a child of God through faith by Jesus Christ. Save my soul forever. I no longer, never will fall under the condemnation or be condemned to go to hell, because Jesus Christ saved my soul from hell. My little pitiful soul. My little soul ain't big as a blade of grass. My little soul is like a gnat on a camel's back. My little soul is like vapor steaming from a teapot. My soul is an eternal being. And God gave me the right and gave me the choice on where I'm going to die after I leave here. And I made my choice. And my choice is Jesus Christ, not the Pope, not the preacher, not the bishop, not the choir member, not the sister, not my money, not my car, not my house, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what my faith is built on. On Christ, this solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest stream, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Yes, I know the football game is going on, but that ain't going to save me. I know there's a lot of activity going on, but that ain't going to save me. When all that is over and done and finished, when the throne of God will call somebody home, when he called the rapture of the church and we meet him in the air, you don't have to worry about going to a football game. Because let me tell you, there's nothing wrong going to a football game. But if you're going to a football game and you're not saved, good God Almighty, you're going to be lost if you die without Jesus Christ. And there you're going to burn in hell. Not because you go to a football game, but because you refuse to make Christ first in your life. People take anything else first, but they won't take Jesus Christ first. I know I sound like a nitwit, but I'd rather be a saved nitwit than a wit-nit unsaved. Hoo-hoo! I'd rather know Jesus than anything in the world. There's nothing else I would want to know and spend eternity with the nail-scarred hands, with the nail-scarred feet. I wouldn't want to spend my time with nobody else but with Jesus Christ for eternity. Eternity. Forever. Forever and ever and ever. And never have to worry about anything. Don't have to deal with nothing but righteousness and love and mercy, and spend my time and my worship with Christ, the Son of the living God, the God that have no beginning and the God that don't have no end, the God that will last forever and ever and ever and ever in love. And those that reject that sacrificial death, if they die without Savior, they die without being redeemed, they will have to spend all the rest of eternity with Satan in hell, burning and gnashing and gashing of teeth. Never have peace. Never again. Because you got to pay. You got to pay for your sins. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. The only way you can escape hell is accept Christ. Accept him now. This is Brother Bazard from Warren, Ohio, going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And I spent some time in Texas. Brother Tim had to go on a mission. He had to do a few things. But I'm going to let you know now, we will continue to preach the gospel on this internet and on your radio station and try to get next to you. I want to get next to you. Spiritually, I want to get next to you. I want you to get so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that what I'm doing is nothing but Christ doing the work in me to tell you you have a hope in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I got. And I didn't get this far on my own. I never would even try to even take one step forward until the Lord tell me to step. And I'm letting you know, if you want to make it through this life, woo! If you want to make it through this life with victory, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you come to Jesus with a broken spirit and a repentant spirit and ask him to the sincere of the bottom of your heart to come in by faith, just tell him to come on in right now in Jesus' name. And you repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, which means that you believe that God Almighty is Jesus Christ, the Christ, the crucified Christ, the only crucified Christ that paid for your sins and hung on a cross for 6 long hours. 6 long hours. His body was mangled and ripped apart. Face bloody, cheekbones swollen, eyes closed, blood streaming down on his forehead, crown of thorns stuck into his skull, hands and nails in his hand, in his wrist, hung, did he hang? Oh, did he hang? He hung so high until the angels, you hear what I said? The angels had to move back into eternity. Because they never knew that God had so much love for his creation. They couldn't bear the pain that he took on Mount Calvary. They couldn't understand why he did it, but they found out. He so loved the world, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Watchman on the wall, Elder G. Bazard. I've been on the air ever since 2006 until 2022. I've been preaching the gospel for 57 years. I've been preaching this gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered for your sins and died for your sins. They got up out the grave for your sins. I'm telling you that he loves you so much. And I love you too. Like I said, I want to get next to your spiritual realm to let you know I love the Lord. And I also love you, those that's listening. And my time is running out, really. Really, I'm going through experience. I'm telling you this by experience. Time is late. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He's going to rapture the church in a moment, in a twinkling of one eye bat. 1/1100th second of a second, he's going to rapture the body of the living God, the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. Only the blood of Christ can give you access to salvation that was brought by Christ himself. The only way you can know God, his son, Jesus. Jesus is the key. We are in a time where the great battle of World War III is getting ready to brew up. It's getting ready to boil. He's getting ready to make his decision. Putin saying he's not going to attack, but that ain't what the Bible says. He's going to attack. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I would say it ain't going to take too long because we only got 2022. It's the last year, I believe. I believe this is the last year I'll be on this earth. Oh, come on, preacher. I ain't that old. I want to live a little longer. So do I. But I don't like living in this. I don't mind serving the Lord. I don't mind carrying his word. I'm going to occupy till I come. I'm not telling you to pack no lunch. I'm not telling you to put on a white robe and go on top of the mountain. I'm not telling you to go get a whole lot of food and go run off into. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, occupy till he comes, because he is coming in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And the world will be handed over. Listen, the world will be handed over to Lucifer. The devil will handle the last 7 years. And God will intervene through the 144,000. And he will intervene with the two witnesses that's going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. 3.5 years for the 144,000 and 3.5 years for the two prophets. The two prophets is Moses and Elijah. So they are going to get the straight gospel from the Jewish nation. and they're going to hear it for 7 years. Russia is going to be, Russia's armament are going to be burning for 7 years, for firewood for Israel. They're going to be burying the dead for 7 months during the tribulation period. And 144,000 will be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the middle of the tribulation period, the superhuman man will come on the scene, because the Antichrist will be assassinated with a deadly wound in the head. He's going to be shot. He's going to be assassinated. And he's going to be killed. And he's going to lay in the morgue. Listen, he's going to lay in the morgue for 3 days, dead, as a donor. And the world is going to witness it on the iPad, on the Instagram, on YouTube, on every known instrument and technology that's ever known to human history. It's going to be a witness to the whole round world. Big screen TV set, little screen TV set, all kinds of technology that you can view. On NBC, ABC, all the channel stations will be witnesses from Jerusalem about the 144,000 and the what? The two witnesses that will be preached, which is Moses and Elijah. My friends, get ready. Please get ready. Give your heart. Give your soul. Give your spirit. Give your mind. Give everything you got. Give your sins to Christ, and he will wash you and make you whiter than snow. He will. I know he will. He will change you forever. And if you receive redemption through Christ, you got a place in heaven right now. Right now. If you're willing enough to tell the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And I repent of my sin. I turn from my wicked ways, my wicked thinking, my wicked attitude. Lord, I need your love. I want you to come into my life right now. And I'm willing to forsake my sin and repent of my sin and confess you with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised your son from the grave. God, you raised him. God, you know why you raised him, God? Because you raised yourself. There was no other God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead but God himself. That's the difference of this divine revelation and sacrifice that Jesus done for you and me. God love you this evening. May his face smile upon you. May he ever go with you wherever you go. Don't forget what the word of God says. Now is the day of salvation. The day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Come back Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. I'll be on Watchman on the Wall. Come back Saturday at 7 o'clock. Brother Tim Jackson will have his program on. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in February. I'll be back on again next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And we are going to wrestle. We are going to dissect. We are going to explain. We are going to proclaim. We are going to do everything we can to get this point across for you, that you can receive this wonderful salvation. Oh, it is so wonderful. It is so immaculate. It is so powerful to know after I die, whether it be by pipeline or whether it be by airline. Pipeline means going to the grave. Airline means the rapture. And I know, I don't doubt it, I believe I'm going to be caught up in the rapture very soon. That's my belief. And my belief that he's coming sooner than I think he's coming. Be ready. Don't be caught off guard. Your vile body will be changed into a glorified body.